Have you ever been in a situation where walking with God made you a target? You were doing the right thing, and as a result, someone tried to bring you harm. To know God and to walk with Him is to become the target of God's enemies. In the Bible, David suffered injustice and opposition because he did the right things. His faith, humility, and grace through it all inspire us to trust the Lord and persevere through tough times. This lesson is called Dodging Spears.
Well, young David is now a national hero. He's the giant killer. But he doesn't let this go to his head. Unlike King Saul, David is going to remain a humble, gracious young man. And he happens to have a new best friend here in chapter 18 as verse 1 opens. The soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him. Verse 3. Then Jonathan made a covenant with David, and Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was on him and gave it to David. Now, when Jonathan gives his robe to David here, it symbolizes a transfer of loyalty to the heir apparent. See, Jonathan is acknowledging here that David will be the king. And what does Saul now do with David? Verse 5 says, Saul set him over the men of war. In other words, David is now a commander. Verse 6 takes us back to when Saul and his army are returning home after David killed Goliath. We're told here, the women came out singing and dancing to meet King Saul. But notice what they're singing here in verse 7. Saul has struck down his thousands and David his 10,000s. Well, Saul complains about that in verse 8. They have ascribed to David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed thousands. And what more can he have but the kingdom? Well, David doesn't say anything. He doesn't start humming this song around Saul. He remains committed to a spirit of humility while Saul is developing a spirit of jealousy. Now, verse 10. The next day, a harmful spirit from God rushed upon Saul, and he raved within his house while David was playing the lyre. That's that little handheld guitar. Spirit here can be translated breath. So this is the breath of God's presence. And this is bringing Saul into a deep conviction of his sin against God. But what does Saul do? Well, verse 11 tells us that Saul erupts in a rage and throws his spear at David. And he does it twice. I would have stopped showing up at the palace after dodging the first spear. But the most surprising thing here is that David doesn't pick that spear up and throw it back. He responds with the grace of God. That's really amazing to me. Beloved, you might be under attack right now by enemies of the gospel. Imitate David here. Don't throw those spears back. Well, Saul had promised his daughter to anybody who defeated Goliath. But when the time comes now to give his daughter Merav to David, verse 19 says, she was given to another man. Again, David doesn't throw a fit. He literally waits on God to work things out. But now comes this rather interesting twist. Saul has another daughter, Michal. She falls in love with David, and Saul seems happy to give her away in marriage. And that's because when David indicates he can't afford the bridal dowry for a princess, Saul says, don't worry about it. All you have to do is go kill 100 Philistines. Verse 25 tells us that Saul is hoping David will fall by the hand of the Philistines. So what does David do? Verse 27 tells us he goes out and kills 200 Philistines. And Saul is now forced to give Michal to David. But verse 29 reports, Saul was David's enemy continually. Imagine his envy, his jealousy, they're well known. In fact, here in chapter 19, now we read in verse 1, Saul spoke to Jonathan, his son, and to all his servants that they should kill David. Well, Jonathan immediately warns David in verse 2. He tells him to run and hide. Then Jonathan actually confronts his father in verse 4, and that takes a lot of courage to speak these words. Let not the king sin against his servant David, because he's not sinned against you. He struck down the Philistine, Goliath, and the Lord worked a great salvation for all Israel. You saw it, and you rejoiced. Why then will you sin against this innocent blood by killing David without a cause? See, Jonathan doesn't pull any punches here. He tells his father that his attitude and his actions are sinful. Verse 6 says, Saul listened to the voice of Jonathan, and Saul swore, as the Lord lives, he shall not be put to death. Now, I wish I could tell you that this peace treaty lasted a long time, but it isn't long at all before Saul explodes with jealousy and he throws another spear at David. Verse 10 tells us that this time David runs for his life. In fact, he races home to tell his wife. Michael warns him here in verse 11, if you do not escape with your life tonight, tomorrow you will be killed. So Michael let David down through the window, and he fled. Now, although she's helping David, you need to understand Michael does not share David's love for God. She's got an idol here in the house that's used for good luck. In fact, verse 13 tells us that she put this image on the bed, put goat's hair around the head to make it look like David is sick in bed, and that gave David time to escape. Later, when Saul confronted Michael about that in verse 17, instead of defending David, she actually says that David threatened to kill her. He said to me, let me go. Why should I kill you? I wasn't loyal at all. Well, David flees to Samuel. Here in verse 18, he tells Samuel all that Saul had done to him, and he and Samuel went and lived at Naoth. Well, when Saul learns where David is hiding, he sends soldiers to arrest him, probably, you know, on the false charge of attempting to murder his daughter. You know, that'll look good. Well, when they arrive, God's Spirit comes on them and causes them to prophesy, which literally means to worship the Lord in this context. Saul sends two more groups of men to take David and put him under arrest, and the same thing happens to them. They just are worshiping God. Well, finally, Saul decides, well, he's going to have to go down there himself, and here in verse 23, he shows up, and God's Spirit overwhelms him, and, well, he breaks out into praising God. All this time elapses. This gives David an opportunity to run for his life, and he eventually finds his best friend, Jonathan, and we're actually able to listen in on a rather touching, heart-wrenching conversation as David just spills out his confusion and pain here in chapter 20 now and verse 1. David says, what have I done? What is my guilt? What is my sin before your father that he seeks my life? In verse 3, he says, there is but one step, just a step between me and death. Or to put it another way, Jonathan, I'm just one step ahead of being killed by your dad, and I'm just trying to do the right thing. Well, the remainder of chapter 20 lays out a plan David gives to Jonathan to determine his father's intentions. Here in verse 27, Saul asks Jonathan where David is, and Jonathan, as planned, offers up an excuse. Saul knows better, so how's he going to respond? Well, he explodes with anger, and here in verse 33, he actually throws his spear at Jonathan. Well, now there's no doubt Saul is not going to stop until David is dead. With that, the final paragraph here in chapter 20 finds Jonathan and David weeping together over all that's happened in their lives, and all because of Saul's ungodly jealousy and anger. Oh, listen, the sin of other people can bring grief and sorrow to the lives of others, especially the lives of believers. Well, for David, He's now going to live the life of a fugitive on the run for several years. But we happen to know this isn't the end of David's story. And let me tell you something, beloved. Sometimes people will throw spears at you, and all you're doing is the right thing. Sometimes life just doesn't seem fair. Well, just wait. Your story isn't over yet either. One day, maybe not right away, maybe not here on earth, but one day, everything will make sense in God's plan, and God will make everything right. So while you're out there dodging spears, let me encourage you. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
The closing question in the study guide for this lesson asks this: how does Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 fit both Saul's and David's circumstances? Whether you're acting like a Saul or like a David right now, what would the Lord have you either forsake or do to fulfill your God-given potential? I hope you'll take the time to reflect on this lesson today. And then join us next time here on The Wisdom Journey.